to their beach resort. Days before, they had been in Ejiso, paying respects to her father's birthplace. Only hours before, they'd been in Takrede, doing the same for her mother's. Everything was brilliant here, even the ground. Everywhere they went, Marcus would notice sparkling red dust. It coated his body by the end of every night. Now there would be sand to join it. "Don't mind them," Marjorie said, moving Marcus past the group of young boys and girls who were trying to draw him toward them to buy this or that, take him here or there. He stopped Marjorie. "You ever seen it? The castle?" They were in the middle of a busy street, and cars were blaring their horns, though it could have been at anyone. The many thin girls with buckets on their heads, the boys selling newspapers, the whole entire country with skin like his, hustling about, making driving near impossible. Still, they found a way to pass. Marjorie clutched at her backpack straps, pulled them away from her body. "No, actually, I've never been. That's what the black tourists do when they come here." He lifted an eyebrow at her. "You know what I mean," she said. "Well, I'm black, and I'm a tourist." Marjorie sighed and checked her watch, though they had nowhere they needed to go. They had come for the beach, and they had all week to see it. "Okay, fine. I'll take you." They took a cab to their resort to set down their things. From the balcony, Marcus caught his first real glimpse of the beach. It seemed to stretch for miles and miles. Sunlight bounced off the sand, making it shimmer. Sand, like diamonds in the once gold coast. There was almost no one milling around the castle that day, save for a few women who were gathered around a very old tree, eating nuts and plaiting each other's hair. They looked at Marcus and Marjorie as the two of them walked up, but they didn't move. Marcus started to wonder if he was really seeing them in the flesh. If ever there was a place to believe was haunted, this was it. From the outside, the castle was a glowing white, powder white, like the entire thing had been scrubbed down to gleaming, cleansed of any stains. Marcus wondered who made it shine like that. And why? When they entered, things started to look dingier. The dirty skeleton of a long-past shame that held the place together began to show itself in blackening concrete, rusty hinged doors. Soon a man, so skinny and tall, he looked like he was made from stretched rubber bands, greeted them, and the four others who had signed up for the tour. He said something to Marjorie and Fonty, and she spoke back in the halting, apologetic tree she had been speaking all week. As they walked toward the long row of cannons that looked out at the sea, Marcus stopped her. "What did he say?" he whispered. "He knew my grandmother. He wished me Aquaba." It was one of the few words Marcus had learned in his time here. Welcome. Marjorie's family, strangers on the street, even the man who had checked them at the airport, had been saying it to her their entire stay. They had been saying it to him, too. "This is where the church was," the rubber band man said, pointing. "It stands directly above the dungeons. You could walk around this upper level, go into that church, and never know what was going on underneath. In fact, many of the British soldiers married local women, and their children, along with other local children, would go to school right here, in this upper level. Other children would be sent to England for school, and they would come back to form an elite class." Next to him, Marjorie shifted her weight, and Marcus tried not to look at her. It was the way most people lived their lives, on upper levels, not stopping to peer underneath. And soon they were headed down, down into the belly of this large, beached beast. Here, there was grime that could not be washed away. green and gray and black and brown and dark. So dark. There were no windows. There was no air. "This is one of the female dungeons," the guide said finally, leading them into a room that still smelled faintly. "They kept as many as 250 women here for about 3 months at a time. From here they would lead them out this door." He walked further. The group left the dungeon and moved together toward the door. It was a wooden door, painted black. Above it, there was a sign that read, "Door of No Return." "This door leads out to the beach, where ships waited to take them away. Them. Them. Always them. No one called them by name. No one in the group spoke. They all stood still, waiting. For what, Marcus didn't know. Suddenly, he felt sick to his stomach. He wanted to be somewhere else. Anywhere else. He didn't think. He just started to push at the door. He could hear the guide asking him to stop, yelling at Marjorie in Fonti. He could hear Marjorie, too. He could feel her arm on his hand. Then he could feel his hand push through. Then finally, there was light. Marcus started running onto the beach. Outside, there were hundreds of fishermen tending their bright turquoise nets. There were long, hand-crafted rowboats as far as the eye could see. Each boat had a flag of no nationality, of every nationality. There was a purple polka-dotted one beside a British one, a blood-orange one beside a French one, a Ghanaian one next to an American one. Marcus ran until he found two men with dark, gleaming, shoe-polished skin who were building a dazzling fire with flames that licked out and up, crawling toward the water. They were cooking fish on the fire, and when they saw him, they stopped, stared. He could hear her feet behind him before he could see her. The sound of feet hitting sand, a light, muffled sound. She stopped many paces away from him, and when she spoke, her voice was a distant thing carried by sea-salted wind. "What's wrong?" Marjorie shouted, and he just kept staring out into the water. It went every direction that his eye could see. It splashed up toward his feet, threatening to put out the fire. "Come here," he said, finally turning to look at her. She glanced at the fire, and it was only then he remembered her fear. "Come," he said again. "Come see." She stepped a little bit closer, but stopped again when the fire roared into the sky. "It's okay," he said, and he believed it. He held out his hand. "It's okay." She walked to where he stood, where the fire met the water. He took her hand, and they both looked out into the abyss of it. The fear that Marcus had felt inside the castle was still there, but he knew it was like the fire, a wild thing that could still be controlled, contained. Then Marjorie released his hand. He watched her run, headlong, into the crashing waves of the water, watched her dip under until he lost her, and all he could do was wait for her to resurface. When she did, she looked at him, her arms moving circles around her, and though she didn't speak, he knew what she was saying. It was his turn to come to her. He closed his eyes and walked in until the water met his calves, and then he held his breath, started to run. Run underwater. Soon, waves crashed over his head and all around him. Water moved into his nose and stung his eyes. When he finally lifted his head up from the sea to cough, then breathe, he looked out at all the water before him, at the vast expanse of time and space. He could hear Marjorie laughing, and soon he laughed too. When he finally reached her, she was moving just enough to keep her head above water. The black stone necklace rested just below her collarbone, and Marcus watched the glints of gold come off it, shining in the sun. "Here," Marjorie said. "Have it." She lifted the stone from her neck and placed it around Marcus's. "Welcome home." He felt the stone hit his chest, hard and hot, before finding its way up to the surface again. He touched it, surprised by its weight. Marjorie splashed him suddenly, laughing loudly before swimming away toward the shore. This is Dominic Hoffman. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Homegoing by Yah Jesse. This program was directed by Linda Korn. Executive Producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2016 by YNG Books, Inc. Production copyright 2016, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.